Yeah, this is Penn Jillette of the Free FM, 866-570-PEN, 7366. Sitting across from me, Michael Gudo. We're penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. And we're asking, we're talking about Martin Luther King today. On Martin Luther King Day, we're talking about Martin Luther King, which is nutty. And we got this long, long letter from a guy who wrote in. But I love the letter so much, and I think it is really very much in the spirit of the day that I'm going to read at least a lot of it. I might skip over some. This is from a listener named Derek. When I was in elementary school leading up to the inaugural Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, all of us school kids got some heavy book learning in about segregation, civil rights, and many other facts, also some minutia. In regards to the life of Dr. King, in addition, in honor of the impending first ever official celebration of Dr. King's life and work, our school was to hold an assembly presentation with us sixth graders doing the bulk of the presenting in question. Now, if you've never experienced an all-school assembly firsthand, here's some quick background. All of the children who attended the school, along with all the faculty and staff, would gather in the gymnasium/cafeteria and watch the chosen ones, in this case us, put on whatever little show we were supposed to, put on. After that, there would usually be a second performance in the evening for all the parents. This particular production was no exception. We all rehearsed songs and skits that presumably were designed to help us sixth grade crackers give all the younger crackers some insight into the life, death, and accomplishments of Dr. King. The highlight of our little show was the closing, which it was decided should be a live reading of Dr. King's widely popular I Have a Dream speech. Okay? This is building up as a story. Just so as you know, I'm really very white. In fact, I bypass milk bottle and head straight for total cracker. I'll readily admit that. This does not mean, however, that my schooling was void of diversity. On the contrary, I had a very diverse group of classmates, racially and socioeconomically. The community where I grew up is not far from a number of military bases, and as such, many different kids sporting many different backgrounds came and went while I was in school. There were numerous children of every imaginable ethnic heritage at the elementary school I attended. Getting down to brass tacks here, there were children at the school in the same grade of African-American descent available to read such a speech. Why am I telling you all of this? Well, it's simple, really. And what can only be described as a stroke of ignorant brilliance on what was supposed to be one of the most racially unifying days in American history, the teachers involved in putting on MLK Day Assembly tapped me to read Dr. King's famous speech. I'm not kidding, is what he says. So we get
You got a sixth grader doing it.
Yeah, which is insane to begin with.
I did Macbeth in seventh grade. Let me tell you, it wasn't good.
And then he says, obviously, I was flattered to have been chosen for such a responsibility-laden assignment, but I couldn't help but be confused. Why not John or Edward? Why me? I inquired. I was told that after much thought and consideration, I was chosen because I had the ability to, and I quote, do all those funny voices, end quote. And he says, no lie. He uses an obscenity here. Funny voices. Let's put this into perspective, shall we? One of the most brilliant orators of the 20th century delivers an impassioned speech dealing with deep issues such as civil rights, equality, and hope during a very tumultuous time in our history of great personal and professional risk to himself, and I'm supposed to reenact it on the first ever day officially set aside by our country to recognize his accomplishments because I can do funny voices. Apparently, I'm supposed to approach the I Have a Dream speech as if Dr. King were a cartoon character. How freaking wrong is that? Regardless of the circumstances, the assignment was mine, and no was not going to be accepted as an answer. So I took the task of learning Dr. King's famous speech as best I could. During the assembly, I was to break into the speech directly following a song performed by other members of my class. I was told by the music teacher that if I missed my cue, there was potential to be drowned out by applause, so I had to be alert. I could not miss my cue. You know, school is great. You know what I mean? I'm a real anti-public school guy, but this story is a really cool story. Hell yeah, I thought. I damn well better be alert. It's not bad enough that some chubby, little, blonde, afro-headed kid was set to mimic the greatest civil rights leader in history. But what if, all of a sudden, people could be led to believe that I was merely hanging out at the front of the gym, muttering to myself and disrupting the celebration? The potential for disaster, I estimated, was very, very real. I rehearsed my part until I was sure that I had it down, and then, just because I was mortified, I rehearsed some more. I was going to be ready, damn it, regardless of how odd the whole thing seemed. Soon enough, the day of the assembly arrived. At the appointed hour, all of us whiteys took our respective places at the front of the cafeteria and set the task of celebrating the life of Dr. King via skits and songs. While all this was going on there, I stood at the front of the gym, paper in hand, ready to orate to the masses. I was dressed in my best slacks, a green polo shirt, and my black members-only knockoff jacket, my hair having been recently and neatly picked into a wonderful round yellowish cloud. Just as the song, the end of which was to be my cue, ended, and before the audience could applaud, I spoke, using the most authoritative tone that my 12-year-old throat could muster. I have a dream today. As I delivered my adolescent version of one of the greatest speeches of all time, I was pleasantly surprised to find that all of my preparation had not been in vain. The words flowed from my mouth with passion and inflection. In fact, I barely had a look at the words on the paper, which I'd been clenching so nervously in my hand the whole time. As I finished the speech, I felt very calm and very relieved. The other students clapped and cheered, and it seemed that the whole assembly had been quite the success, as elementary school assemblies go. I now realize what an honor it was to have been chosen to read the speech, even if it was obviously a screwy thing to begin with. I had a job to do, and I did it. As long as I live, I'll never forget that I had the privilege of being king for a day.
Nice.
I had to read that whole thing. It's just so great.
It's a beautiful story, Derek.
Thank you so much. And it is
that
a beautiful story.
January 20th, 1986 was the first Martin Luther King Day.
Was it? That recently?
Yeah.
Well, recently is 20 years ago.
21 years ago.
Wow,
recently.
That's
too old.
I'm way too old. I was a lot.